The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
In the meantime, I want to talk about the HSE. I mentioned Paul Reid, the boss of the HSE. He's going to be my guest after five. But first, another facet of the HSE, another service they provide, is the 24/7 anonymous text service. It's a free service, 50808. And it has found that a whopping 90%, 90% of young people cover up their mental health struggles by using casual terms such as "I'm grand, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm all right," the usual things we're all used to saying them. Ian Power is the CEO of 50808 and he joins me now to talk about this. Ian, you're very welcome to the show. It's good to talk to you. I suppose on the one hand, it's maybe not that surprising that we tend to kind of brush off some inquiries about our health. That's a lot though, isn't it? 90%?
Yeah, I think we were taken aback a little bit by the scale of it. And in particular as well, the fact that, you know, young people actually want to talk more about their mental health. That's the other aspect of the survey. And the fact that, you know, when they're asked by friends and family how they're doing, they're deflecting, right? So they're saying things like, "I'm grand," you know, 54%, you know, said that they did that quite often, even though they needed to or wanted to talk about how they were feeling. And, you know, 44% of young people aged between 16 and 34 were saying that, look, you know, they rarely talk about their mental health and well-being with friends and family. And I guess what was surprising about that is that you'd kind of think, or you'd be forgiven for thinking, that we've come a long way with mental health. So I guess we were probably surprised at the scale at which people are still uncomfortable talking about it.
Yeah, and I think maybe a lot of people will find this counterintuitive, because they might have expected 90% of older generations, you know, maybe my age and upwards, who didn't grow up, I don't say bombarded because that sounds like a negative thing, but surrounded by messages, positive messages about why you should open up and talk about mental health. These teenagers have had it since your dot for a lot of them, and yet there still seems to be a reluctance.
Absolutely. I think when you look under the hood of it, and we see this quite a lot in the tech service, that young people tell us that they don't open up necessarily to friends and family for two reasons. Number one, they don't want to be a burden on the other person. So, right, particularly if they're going through something heavy, they don't want to feel like they're laying something else on somebody else. And particularly that's, I think, been heightened in the past year because everybody's been going through something. And so, you know, people are feeling like, well, I can't lay that at somebody else's door, when actually lots of people, friends and family, really do want to be there. They do want to listen. The second reason is that young people often find that friends and family, because they care so much, are trying to jump in with solutions and try to fix the problem. Whereas the overwhelming feedback we get in the text line is that for the first time for lots of people, they've actually been listened to fully for the first time. They've actually been heard, not just kind of cycling straight through to kind of, okay, how do we get this resolved? And I can totally understand, as a friend and as a family member, and I can imagine there's lots of parents listening to this who, you know, anytime that their child opens up to them, they're like, okay, well, what can we do to sort it?
Yeah.
Instead of just being there kind of being that listening ear, you know?
Well, Ciarán Samaheady joins me on the line as well, who's a volunteer with the service. But Ciarán, you're 19 years old. The 15 or 16 year old Ciarán, would you have ticked a lot of these boxes, the kind of shrug off the inquiries by saying, "Oh, listen, I'm grand"?
At age, I would have just shrugged them off and not really talked about it much.
And why was that? Now, when you look back, like, why did you, or why were you reluctant to share your problems?
I'm not sure, really. I suppose, as Ian was saying, it's a lot of kind of, you don't want to burden your friends or your family with whatever. You don't want to seem like a problem. And I suppose for me, when I was growing up, there was still kind of the stigma around having mental health problems, which were still trying to get through at the moment. And as a young man when growing up, it was even more so. So I suppose that also kind of affected it as well.
Can you describe then the level of service, or I suppose maybe the relief is the wrong word, but you know what I'm getting at. When you did decide that, listen, I can't just keep telling people I'm grand and shrugging this off, I've got to reach out to someone.
When did I decide to do it?
Yeah.
It was kind of around, I think, second year or third year, I suppose. I kind of looked at it and said, enough was enough, and went and looked for help, and I got it then, and that was probably, it was a very good decision.
When you're now on the other end of the phone line, as it were, I mean, what is the advice that you're giving people, like, born of experience?
Oh, well, we don't give advice. We're not trained in such a way that we are in a position to give advice. What we do is we listen to people and we meet them where they are and we work with them to either encourage or strengthen their own coping mechanisms or work with them to come up with more. But we most certainly do not give advice on the platform at all.
Yeah, okay, maybe that was worded incorrectly, I suppose. But let me put it this way. I mean, do you often come up against, or do you often experience when you are speaking to people, that same reluctance that you would have experienced to opening up?
Yeah, I would. Like, I notice, especially at the beginning of a conversation, when, say, the texter wouldn't know you very well, when you're only just starting to build a rapport with them, they would be kind of reluctant to open up. But as things progress through the conversation and the texter gets more comfortable, you start getting more and more out of them, I suppose.
Yeah.
And sometimes they come on and they try and they realize they're not ready to open up at all, and they end the conversation within the first 5 minutes. So.
And Ian, like, there'll be some people listening and they'll think, well, you know, teenagers are taciturn creatures at the best of times. I suppose it's the point, though, that it's one thing to be taciturn when it's about, you know, your experience in school that day and you don't tell mum or dad exactly how it went. But if somebody is dealing with anxiety or even depression, you know, keeping it shut up is not a good...
No, absolutely. And I think that's the message we're trying to get across here, is that the earlier you can open up and talk about these issues, and the more that the people around you are going to validate those feelings for you and actually help you to feel heard, I think ultimately the better you're going to feel. What's really interesting is that over 2/3 of people in the survey, young people, felt that their mental health would be better if they could open up to friends and family more. And so what we're trying to say today is, you know, firstly, to friends and family, you know, create that space if you can over the next couple of weeks. Make it your business to kind of think about the people in your life that might benefit from having a chat, and really, you know, maintaining eye contact, creating that space, telling people that, you know, you're here for them, even if they don't necessarily want to talk right now, if they're not ready to do so.
And not jumping in, trying to solve the problem. As soon as you said it, I thought, well, that is me. That is me in a nutshell. I would absolutely, the first thing I'd be like, right, what do we do about it?
I'm bowled over by the feedback from texters that the simple act of listening is what's transformative, right? I never would have guessed that before we had started the service, really, that would be the most transformative piece for people. And so the more that you can do that, the more that people can let out what is going on for them. Actually, that's the cathartic piece for lots of people. Obviously, there are people who will need further support. And that's a thing for another day. I think when somebody's opening up to you, it's about just leaving them say whatever they need to say to get off their chest. Interestingly, you know, about 53% of people who get in touch with us say that they do so because they want to just talk to somebody that doesn't know them for their first
time. I was going to say, that's the real value, isn't it, of this service, is that even for people listening to this and they think, you know what, Ian is right and Kieran's right, I've got to reach out to someone, they still might feel a bit awkward reaching out to mum or dad or brother, sister, teacher, friend, whatever it happens to be, whereas this service at least provides that anonymity.
Absolutely. And people like Kieran are at the other end to help you to kind of build up either, you know, what you want to say to other people, how you want to go about it, and for you to figure that out with somebody else listening to you, I guess. And one of the other interesting things is that around 60% of texters share something with their volunteers like Kieran that they've never shared with anybody else in their life.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a really safe space to kind of open up and have that first conversation maybe that you need to have.
50808, it's an easy number to remember. Ian Power is the CEO of 50808. Kieran is on the line. Sometimes Kieran Samedi, he volunteers with the service, former user as well of mental health services, and we appreciate Kieran that you took the time and were willing to share your own experience today. And Ian, thank you as well for coming in and joining us in studio. Plenty still to come on The Hard Shoulder, including Paul Reid, the boss of the HSE, on when we are fully going to see a lifting of restrictions on partners accessing maternity hospitals.